Oh my gosh, guys, can you believe it? It is a new episode of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk Podcast. We are back in full form. I'm going to be doing a phone episode with Andrew Merrick himself and a special guest host in Matt Merrick, his older brother, the one and only legend himself. We're going to get down to some nitty gritty. We're going to ask about some Viking stuff, what we thought about Joe Maurer's retirement. But we're also going to do some little bit of just dabbling. We're going to kind of go with it, guys. So stay tuned. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. Let's go. Oh my God. Is this really happening or no?
Hey, the man's back in town.
Oh my God.
Guys. We talked about
both of us.
Oh my. What is that? Is that the son of God?
God, is that you?
Jesus Christ? Literally? What is going on, guys? I promised the listeners that we would have a special guest host, and we are so welcomed by Matthew Crestwhite Merrick, the living legend, the only human being to ever hit 1,000 in baseball for 7 years straight.
That is categorically untrue.
Categorically, I'm going to say
but
it's
it was
true.
Close. But it was close.
I think it's 998.
I mean, but 62, but who's
very kidding? Impressive. What is going on, gentlemen? How are you guys doing?
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
I don't believe in Thanksgiving because I'm a big Leif Erikson fan.
Does that have to do with anything?
Columbus didn't discover America, and that's what we celebrate. I believe in the Vikings discovering it first.
Yeah.
So
I wish it was that easy, Bob. I really do.
It's 100% real. Leif Erikson discovered it. It was found in Minnesota. They found his sword. But let's get away from 100% truth. You know, Crunch, you're back in town, the old stomping ground. How does it feel to be back?
I mean, as soon as I saw, you know, the Grand Forks, next four exits sign on I-29 on Wednesday morning, my nipples immediately were hardened.
Oh, my Lord.
They're still hard. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling being back.
It's crazy, too, because you actually brought some nice weather with you. It is actually currently 32 degrees here in the beautiful state of North Dakota, which is like the first time ever, I think, in the past 6 years.
We're not in North Dakota, Bob. We're on the better side of the river. You know that.
All right. So there's still that. All right. That's great. But you brought some great weather with you. Obviously, you have your co-host, the smartass Andrew Merrick.
Hey, man. You know what the best part about me being back is?
That we actually have a show.
Well, yeah, that. And then, you know, people don't have to listen to this incoherent Miami football talk. We can talk about real shit.
Hey, it was boring me, for one. Two, it's pretty – you find out how lonely you are when you drink by yourself. And you just, and you, it's literally like you just you laugh at the dumbest things. It doesn't make any sense, really. It's ridiculous.
Understandable. Understandable. I mean, I know you missed me. I feel bad that I missed the podcast here, but you know how it goes. Winter rolls around and work gets busy. It happens. And
it's a very, very tough time. And I'm just so happy to actually have a co-host finally. My next goal is to reach out to Adam Thielen, since I know I can do these phone interviews. We're going to try to lock him in. Nick Swartzen is another big guest I want to have on.
What do you think the odds of that happening?
Well, Nick Swartzen follows Andrew.
That's the point. Like, I think
we have it in there, right?
No matter what, I think if they see like a like in town, like or a Minnesota kind of like podcast, I think they'll follow. They'll want to do it maybe for 5-10 minutes. What do they got to lose?
Yeah, I doubt it, but sure. I mean, whatever makes you feel good.
Oh man, that optimism is right back with us. I love it, guys.
Right.
We're gonna get things started off the right way. Obviously. We have some big talk to go about here. Obviously, the Vikings lost last week to the Chicago Bears. It was a very horrible game. What are your guys' takes on it? I didn't care for Cousins' play at all, really. But the offense wasn't really going anywhere in general. So
no. Well, let me just start by saying this. I think we touched on a couple of things, you know, earlier in the season.
Yep.
And we talked about how, you know, Kirk Cousins was the correct signing, and I still think it was the correct signing, but that doesn't mean that that signing was – we weren't getting Tom Brady. We weren't getting Aaron Rodgers. We were getting a guy who may have been a little bit, you know, not – he has better arm talent than Case Keenum, but he's not nearly as mobile. And we've seen with the lack of an offensive line once again in big games. And, you know, and that's – some of it falls on Kirk because Kirk sits in the pocket for way too long. Like he sits in the pocket way too long. You know, there are times where he misses easy throws. He missed two touchdown passes in the Vikings game. I thought one was really, really bad. The Diggs one was really bad. Yep. But, you know, he was under pressure all game because the Vikings did in the offseason what they, you know, they had to address the offensive line. And really, that O'Neal guy is still, you know, I think he can still be decent. But the rest of the offensive line has been underwhelming. And Kirk has never been a guy. The one thing that scares me about Kirk Cousins is his record against winning teams. And if you've ever looked at his record against teams with a 500 or better record, he's like 4-23. It's a startling – it's something I didn't see right away when they signed him. And
no, I mean, he does have marquee games. He does make great throws, and I understand clearly what you mean. He does stay in the pocket way too long. I mean, especially it doesn't fare us that well with the way that our offensive line is set up, just like you've said. You have to find those quick throws. You have to find those quick outs. It's easier said than done for us because we're observing it rather than being in the situation.
Oh, yeah. But if you watch – you know, if you watch him in the pocket, his pocket awareness is poor. You know, it's poor. It's not good. And the thing is, he will not get off his spot. If that means throwing off his back foot a little bit, like there's just like little things that like are going to hurt you at some point in time. You know, he fumbles too much. Why? Because he can't get out of the pocket. He refuses to leave the pocket. Whereas a lot of these really good quarterbacks that you're seeing, the Goffs, the Mahomes, they have very, very good coaches, probably better coaches than we have offensively. But those guys, you know, they have quarterbacks that, you know, when they're under pressure, they can step up and they can get outside the pocket and they can make something happen. Mahomes, Trubisky did it against us. Like, I mean,
Trubisky's big thing. I was not worried about him throwing the ball, but
he didn't do anything overwhelming. They just had a better off their offensive, their coach is an offensive guy. He calls the plays. Nagy. He just won. He won the coaching battle. Like he just did. And
his ability to see everybody dropping back in coverage and noticing it almost that quick was uncanny. Like for him to step up and run it for 10, 15 yards, it wasn't like he was killing us for major yardage, but he was killing us like 10 yards at a time.
No, he made the throws when he had to, and he ran for yards, which is something that you're never going to see Kirk Cousins do. Kirk Cousins will never step up in the pocket with a clean pocket and run the football.
Yeah, what the hell was he doing on the – like, he was like, what, he was 10 yards out? He started running the ball, and then he's like just started kind of stutter-stepping, like 2 yards away from the first down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he at all costs sits in the pocket at all costs. Even when he has a free 5-6 yard gain where he can just run it and slide, he still doesn't do it. And he takes sacks instead. And it's just, that's the thing that drives me nuts about him. So he doesn't have a great offensive line. If he doesn't have a great offensive line, you're going to get that. Like you're going to get turnovers. You're going to get sacks. You're going to get throwing off your back foot, you know, the occasional bad throw for a pick. Like he's not elite. He's just solid like that, and that's the thing. When you get and you're playing against the Drew Breeses of the world, and you're playing against the Mahomes and the guys that have clearly have a better grasp of pocket, their pocket awareness and their mobility, and their coaches also set them up to be successful too. Like whereas we have, you know, not you know DeFilippo's, you know, I think he's okay, but like it's not like McVay and Nagy; those guys just get it. I mean, they're a step ahead, and we're not there yet. And that's the thing that scares me. If our defense doesn't light it up and Kirk has to win us a game against a good team, I'm not convinced he can do it yet, which is why the rest of this season scares me.
In a sense, he is, though. I mean, if you really watch that fourth quarter where he's leading him down the field, like it was like within the last 7 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
He kept leading him down the field. But that was the rush offense. Like at that opportune time, do you start implementing that rush offense, like that hurry up offense to kind of go with teams that are going to be bum rushing you as much as that? Like,
well, people knew he was going to throw. Like, and that's the thing, he shows flashes of that. I mean, as long as you can keep him clean, he can do some really good things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. Like, we haven't kept him, you know, we've kept him clean in certain games, but you get teams with a pass rush like the Bears, like, it doesn't matter how good your defense is. Like, there's a chance Cousins is going to set you up to give, you know, he could set you up to give the other team points by a turnover or just taking sacks and losing a field position game. Like, I'm a little worried. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of worried about how the season's going to go.
And he's done this his whole career. It's no.
Yeah, this is nothing we didn't know.
No, that's correct.
The big theory.
You said it.
We've touched on it, you know, with the Vikings offensive line issues coming into the season, which they really didn't address.
They had a third round pick, and then they lost guys to injuries. They lost Easton to an injury, and he was decent.
That's true.
So, I mean, you had that was the big fear coming in. It was like strip sacks and, you know, waiting to happen.
Yeah, tipped passes, which is another thing that he has a lot of passes batted down.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he has a lot of passes batted down.
Those could easily turn into turnovers. He's had tipped passes for picks. And
sure.
Like, it's just, yeah, it's a little worrisome. Like, I think that in order for them to be, you know, I think in order for them to take that next step, like, he's going to need to, you know, he's going to need to be able to move in the pocket a little better. For one, our defense has to play really, really well. But that's a lot of pressure to put on the defense.
Okay. Let me ask this question goes to Matt here, actually. Matt, do you think with Everson Griffin coming back, do you think he's actually played better than he had prior to his psychosomatic hospitalization, or do you think he's actually playing worse?
I don't think he's played worse. I mean, I think he's been okay. I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, it's, you know, I'm surprised he even came back. I thought he was, after hearing the news that came out, I thought we wouldn't see him again the rest of this year.
I did.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe he is coming back too soon. He's been serviceable. Like, he's been bad running against the run. He hasn't been great against the run, but, you know, he's a pass rusher, and, like, he's good at that.
Yeah, but when you saw him play against the Lions, when he was part of that 10-tackle or that 10-sack game, I thought he was playing so on par. I thought he was, like, he was flushing out the pressure to Danielle Hunter, and Danielle Hunter was making some plays. And then it would be like vice versa. Like, I thought the whole line was playing together. Like, that thought it was the best they played all year.
Yeah.
But
no, that's the thing too. It's like the teams that we play, you know, that are going to have good offensive and defensive lines, like, our defense is going to be fine. We just, our offense, you know, we're playing in the NFC. The NFC is loaded. I mean, like, you got the Saints, like, the Saints are fire, the Rams, like, we're gonna have to outscore somebody at some point in time in the season where, like, our defense is might be playing okay, but we're running into a team that's in the zone, like the Rams or the whoever, but we're just not,
honestly, I don't know if this team can do that on the road.
Yeah, it's scary. No, Bob, it does scare me. Like, that's saying, we're gonna be playing on the road in the playoffs. And
here's the thing, we talk about it every year. We're always talking about, like, you know, having that one or two signees away from actually competing every year. We're always doing that. And this year, it's like, we don't need to sign one or two guys. We need to sign basically a whole offensive line, not just to, like, starters, but backups aside from that.
Which we can't because we don't have any cap.
Because we focus on, like, a bigger picture. We always focus, like, on a playmaker that doesn't really necessarily turn out, but doesn't really push us over that edge that we need to be.
Right.
We did it with Kirk Cousins, and he's played phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. He's played great. Very good.
He always played good against the bad teams, and he's played bad against the good teams, which, you know, that's not good. Like, I don't care what anybody, I think he's a solid quarterback, and he can play, his ability to play well. He almost beat our Vikings a couple years ago. You know, he put up 30 against our defense when our defense was, like, on fire, like, when we were hot. And he, you know, he's capable of it. It's just, it comes in spurts, and it's not nearly as consistent as it should be.
It's
for that money. I mean, for that money. But then again, you know, like, what were the Vikings going to do? Like, they had no choice. Like, if they were going to take the next step, they were going to sign a quarterback, because they knew Keenum wasn't the guy. And he's proven that this year. He's proven that this year.
He was never the option. I don't think Keenum was ever the long-term option.
No.
He was that role player for the year that was doing that well for him, and it's worked, and they didn't want to break that rhythm. And now it's like, to me, I wish we would have held on to, I wish we would have held on to Teddy for a little bit longer. That way we could have actually maybe traded him for some possibility at offensive line. Because they're already talking about Teddy being gone from the Saints in like the next year and going to possibly New York. And it's like, you have that little bit of trade bait, possibly.
Yeah, but you, nobody's going to give you anything for a guy whose knee is mangled. And that's the only, that's the problem there. Like, because he's played, what, four snaps since that injury? Like, maybe a drive? He played a drive in the preseason, a couple drives. Like,
me and him played tackle like last week.
Oh, did he? That's, yeah. It must have been two-hand touch because he probably would have broken his other leg.
I played rough.
But no, I don't that's the thing. Like, you can say that in hindsight, but like, he wasn't ever going to be traded for anything of substance. Like, you know, he wasn't going to be like, oh, we can hold on to him, trade him, maybe get like a fourth round pick or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't going to demand a first round pick or a second round
pick. No, you didn't get a first pick for him, but you could have got a veteran player in the fifth round that actually had some experience behind him that was kind of losing his luster, and you could have added him to the roster.
Yeah, no, I mean,
aid the team at least a little bit.
No, and I see what you're saying, but like, I don't really see it. I couldn't see it because, you know, just the ad injury is something that some guys don't even come back and play football anymore. So yeah. Like, nobody's gonna take a chance on that, and that's the thing. It's like, that's why like we just released him. That's why if he could have garnered anything, they would have done it, but they didn't.
Dude,
probably because they couldn't.
You can play with the Saints, though. It was ridiculous. Like, he had like the best kneels I've ever seen in my life.
he's a hell of a kneeler, man. Like, I think that they were testing. Like, they called that play to test out his knee. That's what it was.
At one point, I saw him when they brought him in for the game to basically kneel the ball or run it. I was honestly waiting for him to tear his ACL again.
Yeah.
Like, I was, of all things, this would be your comeback story. You tear your ACL and every other joint in your knee again.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's not.
It would have been so brutal, but I would have been caught in shock.
Yeah, no, I can see it happening. I mean,
We talked about this earlier in the year, Drew, and, you know, we talked about Khalil Mack going to the Bears and how you weren't that worried about it. How much, this question goes to both of you guys, how much of an improvement did that one signing of Khalil Mack make, obviously, to that Bears defensive line?
Okay, so, you know, when you look at a football roster, you start with your quarterback. You want to get that franchise quarterback. Then you want to get a guy to rush that, you know, and then you want to get a guy that can rush a quarterback. Then you got to get a guy to throw the ball to. There's like a level of, you know, that series of, you know, players that every team has to be their corner pieces. You know, your left tackle, your quarterback, a wide receiver, you know, defensive end, you know.
Yeah,
like you have those, and Khalil Mack, you get a guy that can rush the passer because in the playoffs, you got to get to the quarterback. You can't let those really good quarterbacks in the playoffs just sit back there and that changed the Bears roster. It changed the entire outlook of their team because their edge rushers were not good. They had good inside guys like Akeem Hicks and they had other guys like that, but like the defensive ends.
Who's the other edge rusher is what is it Lloyd, right? Isn't it Lloyd?
Yeah, I think so.
But he was decent. He was decent at best. Like, he had a good first move. Like, it was a swim, but it would cut inside too at the same time. He had a first good move.
Khalil Mack. Okay. There's nothing wrong with him. I'm just saying, like, Khalil Mack is a game changer. He's a game buster. That's why they got him. I just can't believe
it. Khalil Mack is like a one move guy. He will cut, he will swim, he will push, he'll draw double team, and he makes everybody else look so much better. Like, Hakeem Nicks has looked 10 times better since he's been there. I swear.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, that's why they went and got him. Although they did, it was a steal because they didn't give Oakland anything back, which is, I mean, it blew my mind how, like, the Oakland Raiders could just trade away Khalil Mack and not get, what, they get, like, a second-round pick? I mean, it was, like, it was bad. Like, it was the trade.
But at the same time, you look what they did with Amari Cooper. They're cleaning house. They're getting ready to go to
Vegas. I get that. But when you have the best defensive end in football, why the fuck wouldn't you trade him for something a little bit, something that's worth the best defensive end in football, like a first round, two first round picks. Like, that's not so much to ask. Not for that position, not for that player. Like, that's the Bears got away with it, and it's setting them up very well for the future. Like, the Bears' schedule too is certainly helping. I'm not saying that they're a good team, but like, their schedule is exactly what it should have been because they were bad last year, and ours is brutal. That's I still think in a 16-game season, like if we played the same schedule, we'd probably be still, you know, we'd probably win the division. But our schedule is brutal, and theirs is just cake. You know, like so that's what scares me too is that I don't think see them losing a ton of games. Like you know, I don't see them losing a ton more games. Where the Vikings had the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Packers, like
I looked at the schedule before the year. I'm like, it would not surprise me if this team went 9-7 or 10-6,
and it looks like they will.
Yeah,
and 9-6-1. You know, like that's it wouldn't surprise me one bit. They have to beat the Packers this week, by the way. If they don't beat the Packers, their season could be over. Like, it's that big of a game.
At that point, you almost have to run the table.
Yeah, you pretty true.
No, Trubisky's injury. He was out this, but obviously yesterday. Is it a long-term injury?
No, I don't think they said it was a long-term injury.
It didn't seem that serious. I mean, if you look at it, it's – I mean, they played, what, they have 80 hours off between Vikings game and the Lions game?
Yeah, something like that.
It felt more precautionary, and let's face it, it's the Lions.
Yeah, so. We knew the Lions were going to tank that game. Even if they had you at quarterback, Bobby, they would have tanked that game.
I kid you not.
You take that back, right?
And we were talking – me and Drew were talking about – the Lions should win this game,
yeah.
But they're gonna do Lions things, and they're gonna find a way to fuck it up and give it away. And they did exactly that.
Yeah, they did. And Stafford throws that pick six. I'm like, you know what? Like that's exactly what was going to happen the whole game. Like you're watching it. Oh, it's a close game. It's a close game. Like you think to yourself, like, man, like what could possibly go wrong for Detroit here? Probably like a Stafford pick six on an outpass. Yeah, guess what happened? Two plays later, you're like. This is the Detroit Lions, man. That's a shit.
Rumor is right now is that the Detroit Lions are still trying to get Barry Sanders back.
They need him. Hell, they need him at 60 years old. They take him in a wheelchair.
Right now.
They haven't had a running back since Vietnam. Like that franchise is an absolute joke. Like,
it's such a garbage fire. It's so bad. It's a dumpster fire, and it's so
and then they hired Patricia, and I'm like, you idiots! Like that's.
When you have a quarterback like Stafford and you can't build a team around him, and you have a receiver like Megatron, and he decides I'm going to retire because I'm never going to win anything with this team,
it's bad news.
That goes back to the rumor of this offseason when it came out that Belichick was trying to trade Gronk to the Lions, and Gronk told him, "If you trade me, I'm going to retire."
Yeah, literally word for word, I'm done. I'm like, I will quit football if you trade me to the Detroit Lions. I don't blame him. I'd be the same way, man. I'd rather live in Antarctica than play for the Detroit Lions.
Let's be real. If you had the opportunity to play pro football, your name to be seen out there, if you were the big name getter, you would retire?
No, absolutely not. I was lying through my teeth, but you knew that.
Oh yeah. So it's more sarcastic. Yeah. Okay, now let's get to another subject. Obviously, Monday Night Football had a spectacular game. Well, spectacular quarterback showing of Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff. Now, was that a spectacular QB showing, or is that just a poor defensive battle?
Quarterback, coaching, both. Quarterback and coaching, and then the defense is – the Rams scored 38 on the Vikings. Come on. I mean, like, that's an elite offense. Like, there's no way – granted, the Chiefs' defense is awful. The Rams' defense in spurts can be pretty good. But, like, you knew that game was going to be a 40-40, 50-50. I mean, like, you knew that game was going to be a shootout. If the Vikings-Rams game
was
38-30,
I did not think that high.
Yeah, over-under was 63.
63, I believe, yeah.
So, yeah, they crushed that. I mean, it was just up and down the field. Like, it's fun to watch, but, like, good Lord. I mean, that's, like, the Chiefs have a terrible defense, though, and it's going to burn them in the playoffs, but.
That was the thing, too. That I think there were still, like, 20-some points scored defensively.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, the points that some of the points that were scored were off, like, pick sixes. Otherwise, they just went up and down the field. Like,
right?
it was incredible. Like.
Sense too, it wasn't like it was a poor defense. Like the throw that Jared Goff made to Everett down the sideline, I think it was in the fourth quarter. That was on a dime. That was like a beautiful touch throw. Like it was perfectly placed. So you couldn't pass that any better.
He's a good quarterback playing for the best offensive coach in football. Like
Right. I mean, honestly, with the way the rules have changed, and with the athletes always getting better, and with, you know, the coaches that we have, I'm surprised we haven't seen more games like that.
Yeah, and it's only going to get more like that. You know, like this defensive.
I like that McVay is one of those coaches, because I think it instills, like, even the veteran coaches to actually think a little bit more outside the box, so you actually get a little bit more inventive, I guess, in the sense. McVay is bringing a whole different game offensively. And I don't think
he's so far ahead of everybody. Like, he's three plays ahead of every coach. So, I mean, so far this year, like, he's that good. And Nagy's very similar, by the way. Nagy is another guy for Chicago that's very, very smart guy. He's always a step ahead. That's why I thought that's a really good hiring for Chicago. Like, I don't think they'd be where they are without him as their head coach either. Like, even with Mac, like, I think they'd still be solid, but, like, not the way they're playing now. And he's a very good offensive coach too. And I think offense will always beat defense in the NFL now these days. In the past, it was never like that, but you can see it. You can see him isolating guys. Like, he's setting plays up. He always seems to get, like, that mismatch. He always seems to be calling a play where he knows he's going to get a mismatch. You know what I mean? Like, he's, even no matter what the personnel package is, like, he knows all of his players. Seems like he knows all of his players' skill sets, like, you know, to the point where he's thinking these plays through long before, you know, they actually go down. And that's, you saw that against the Vikings, where he had Barr isolated on wide receivers like three times and we got burned twice for touchdowns. Like, the guy's brilliant. And yeah, I mean, that's just the way football's going too. Like, you're going to see a lot more of these offensive, you know, all these shootouts. Like, you're not going to see 10, 13, 10 games anymore, like 17, 10 games. Like, those are going to be, you know, gone.
And honestly, I think going back to the coaching thing too, I mean, we all know Belichick's the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah, I would say that.
I think he is. But if you watch that Patriots team this year, I just feel like they are just talent and athleticism wise, they are so. They're one of the top AFC, and they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. But if you just look at their athleticism and their talent, I just feel like they're miles behind, you know, the Saints and the Chiefs and, you know, the Rams of the world. So,
yep.
I mean,
it's, but, you know, when your coach is brilliant, you never know.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
They're always going to be there. And they always play, the Patriots always are lucky enough to play in the same division as the Dolphins. And the Jets.
That helps too.
Like, those shitbirds. Teams, like, twice a year. That's six wins almost every year. So,
When you look at it and you see Belichick and he has that opportune time to say, I need this player to actually make, he can make literally any player part of his team and make them look so outstandingly good. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a system. But he has a system and he's been doing it for so long and he hasn't had to change shit. Like,
saw him sign Michelle, or when they drafted Sony Michel this year, I was like, he is going to be, that is the best running back they could ever get. Cause if they can make guys like, I don't know, like White and anybody else that's on
Deion Lewis, who's garbage.
Exactly.
Who's garbage this year, by the way, Deion Lewis.
But if he can make them look good with these like short, like 10, 15 year old runs, like in this perfect system that he has, Sony Michel was doing great up until he got hurt. And when he comes back, it's going to be even better, I would assume, until he trades him off. But
yeah, no, I don't disagree. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's a system. He gets guys in there that you would never really think, you know, fourth, fifth round draft picks. And then it's just him, Tom Brady, and Tom Brady being able to put it on these guys' hands, even though they might not have a lot of separation. Like, and he's just got a really good quarterback, and he gets guys that fit this scheme and this system. And Belichick's another guy who's ahead of everybody. And I think Belichick's actually really good. He's obviously a smart offensive coach. But, like, defensively, you can tell he has some input. Like, you can tell that, like, when it comes to, like, shutting down certain teams, like, he might not necessarily shut teams down. But, like, he always kind of seems to be –
he takes away the number one
option. Yeah, he takes away your number one option. Yep. It makes you beat them with your number two, three options and all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, once Tom Brady's gone, I think Belichick will be gone too. So, who knows when that'll be. Tom Brady thinks he's 25.
The truth, okay, so take a look at it from this aspect. Now, I'm going to ask Matt this because I want to hear his opinion on it quick. if Tom Brady is drafted in the same situation, but say he was given to somebody like Marvin Lewis.
Okay.
We'll say. Do you think he's going to be that quarterback that he was with the Patriots?
It's tough to say. I mean, I think there's a lot that goes into that sort of thing. Like you said, environment, coaching, that sort of thing. Just knowing what we know about Brady and just how smart he is. I mean, he kind of runs that offense, right? Yeah. I think he figures it out. I think he's great. I don't know if he's great to the level of, you know, being in the talk of the greatest quarterback of all time. I still think he's a very, very good quarterback. I just don't know if he's on the level as he is now.
Ken Dorsey was.
I honestly think that he would be up there. And the only reason I say that is because Tom Brady is, like Matt said, he's smart. Like the guy is insanely accurate. Like, I'm not saying that like Belichick hasn't helped him a little bit, but I still think he'd have been a Hall of Fame quarterback no matter where he would have gone. You know what I mean? Like, cause I don't doubt that either.
I don't doubt that he has.
He'll be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but I don't think he would be as good.
Oh man, I don't know. I think he would.
Yeah. I think Belichick
not as good, but as good as he's been, who cares if it's as good? He'd still be a Hall of Famer. He'd still probably win a Super Bowl here and there. I don't know if he'd have five, but I mean, still, like that's
definitely have five if he wasn't with Belichick there. I think that it has so much to do with Belichick's scheme and everything he does. It's crazy.
They talk about Super Bowl victories, and I don't know if he has five. And the numbers may be very similar, but if he doesn't have those Super Bowl victories, I think that.
But like,
in others' eyes, you know.
But here's the thing, though. Like,
I don't think he would be dating Giselle either. I think he'd be dating Oprah Winfrey.
Daddy, so no, he wouldn't be.
No,
he would be with Oprah Winfrey or Rose McDonald.
He'd be like dating a gas station attendant, female gas station attendant. No, like,
she washes a mean window.
Yeah, that's right. No, you know what I mean? Like, I still think he'd be very good. I mean, like, I still think he'd be a Hall of Fame quarterback. But then again, look at the guys who they talk about being the greatest of all time. How many Super Bowls do they have?
I have zero, but thanks.
Logan. Oh, yeah, you're right. What about, like Peyton Manning? He's got one. Like, people talk – like, Eli Manning's got two.
Does he have one? He has two.
Peyton's got two.
He got one.
Tom Brady.
Denver and
you're right. That's right. But that's the thing. Like the guys that they talk about as being the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Look at Brett Favre.
Like nobody.
Look at Brett Favre.
Like none of those guys that they talk about as being the greatest of all time have, you know, four.
Drew Brees only has
one. Yeah, Drew Brees has one. He's considered to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Dan Marino. How many does Dan Marino have? Dan Marino has one.
Zero.
Zero. Zero. There you go.
That's what I'm saying. Like the guys that they talk about being the best quarterbacks of all time, it's not like they've won six or seven either. So like that's where you can't really take away from Brady because he might win two somewhere else or whatever. But
what about Tavares Jackson? Tavares Jackson has at least one.
Yeah, but he didn't actually play in the game.
Well, he still has one.
Yeah, right. So we'll put him up there then too. He's probably right behind Brady. Probably quarterback four all time. Or five then.
All right. So we got that figured out. Now, okay, so we saw that epic battle of Patrick Mahomes and we saw Jared Goff battling. Now, the three-way quarterback race is ridiculous. You have a 9-1 team, basically like a 10-1 team, 9-2 and 10-1 again. Out of the three quarterbacks, out of Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, who do you take and why?
Oh, man. Who do I take now? Like right now or just like in general, like just – am I taking all factors into consideration?
Are we saying who's going to win it or who are we taking right now?
I would say who, like going forward from here on out from this, for like to win a Super Bowl, who are you going to take?
Just based on the quarterback, not the team surrounding them.
Not the team surrounding them, just the quarterback. Who do you have
Brees,
confidence
Brees.
In?
Brees. All day.
You went Brees that quick?
He is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Like that guy is ridiculous. And like, just him. If you just say, hey, take the teams out of this situation, take all of his weapons, take everything away, and you just say, hey, give me Goff, Mahomes, Brees. I'm taking Brees because he's done it before. He's been there. Mahomes hasn't been in a playoff game. Goff hasn't been in a playoff game.
We lost last year. He lost the first round game.
Yeah, Goff lost 13-10 to the Falcons last year. So basically, a lot of the same players on that team too. So, but yeah, no, I'm taking Breeze because he is. He's proven it for 20 years. Like 20 years, the guy's
been there, done that.
Yeah, been there, done that. I take Breeze all day, every day.
So you're taking the experience over the?
I'm taking everything.
Gleams of talent.
I'm taking talent. I'm taking everything because Drew Brees is still good, if not better than those two guys right now.
I'm taking the birthmark.
But what about the mole on his face?
I like that birthmark.
Yeah, Matt, special powers. Matt's going birthmark. He thinks it generates special powers. Yeah. So I can't disagree there. I think that birthmark. I think he's got something in there. Like he's got some extra smelling salts behind that thing or something.
I think a leprechaun.
Holy shit.
Blessed it or something.
Have you seen that guy's? Have you seen that guy's wife? By the way, have you seen Drew Brees' wife? Holy shit!
No, I married Drew. I can't.
I don't. Well, yeah. I forgot you don't look at you. You never see other women. They all look like men to you. I forgot.
I only stare at guys.
Well, that I did know, but that's completely different. That's a side topic there for you. That's something you're going to have to get figured out on your own.
No, he's got a look wife. He has, what, three or four boys?
He's got three boys. God, his wife's a bomb.
Three boys, I think, and one girl.
Nah, who cares? Just kidding. But no, I don't.
I want to. Well, how many? Oh, wait, Phil Rivers, how many is he have? He has like 12 kids, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he's like 15 or 18.
Yeah, it's kind of, he's North Carolina white trash, though.
He populated an entire town by himself, I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Riversville. And he still tries to get in fights with like Jake Plummer, but okay. So we discovered that obviously there's you guys win on that note of Drew Brees being the Q. Best running back this year going forward. Who do you choose as your running back?
Gurley.
You go, Todd. Absolutely.
Gurley or Kamara. If I had to pick one now, Gurley, because I think Gurley can get dirty yards when you need them, because Gurley's a power back. Plus,
I go Kamara.
You'd go Kamara? Is it why? Yeah. Why Kamara? Why would you take Kamara over Todd Gurley right now?
Okay, so I'm taking Drew Brees. I'm going to take Kamara. I'm going to have a pass happy offense. Kamara out of the backfield opens up so many options. It's ridiculous.
So Gurley, and you're saying Gurley doesn't or doesn't as well?
I think Gurley does, but I think Gurley can get stuffed at the line pretty damn quick.
I think he's better. I think he's better at breaking tackles. He's got more yards after contact than Kamara does.
I'm taking passing over the ability to run.
Gurley catches the ball too, so I don't know where you're going with this, Bob, but I think it's a terrible
pick. No, he doesn't.
I want Matt Asiata.
Yeah, actually,
that's not... all he does. All he does is score touchdowns.
That's right.
That's all he
does. If you're on the five inch line, and Matt Asiata needs to get you 5 inches, he'll get you 4 3/4.
Yeah.
The only running back to have 50 yards in a season, but 20 touchdowns. Yeah.
Right. It's pretty close. What's he doing? Is he working at In-N-Out Burger, or what's he doing?
Something like that.
Oh, man. I think he might be selling cars. I think he might be selling Subaru Outback.
You know.
Yeah.
Somewhere, wherever he's from.
He might be. So, okay. So who's your
top receiver?
Right now, who's a one receiver? I'll let Matt take this one if he could take one receiver.
Boy, that's a great question. Do you want the homer? Do you want the homer answer?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Give me. Can I take two? I'll take Thielen and Diggs
together.
I'll take them together.
I love
the way they run routes. You know, good hands, great route runners.
They're always open.
They can get open whenever they want.
They're always open. It's just a matter of if somebody hits Cousins before they get open.
That's true.
I have noticed a lot more that, say, Diggs will run like a short kind of hook route, and he'll spend so much goddamn time trying to juke out one player.
Mm-hmm. It usually works.
It'll be like 10 seconds of juke. I'm like, just run outside already. Just move. Just do something. Everybody else is waiting on him.
He was doing the electric slide, you know, after he caught the ball, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, get you a couple extra yards, I guess, you know.
That's fine.
Until right. Khalil Mack trucks you from behind.
Usually Khalil Mack's – oh, yeah. Khalil Mack's on top of Cousins before Diggs can dance his way. Because that's what, quarter of a second? Mack's usually in the backfield?
Yeah, something like that.
No.
As a fantasy football player – how frustrating. I don't know if you guys took Julio Jones this year or say like DeAndre Hopkins or any of those other guys. These star-studded players that we thought were going to be so good going into this year, they have ridiculous amounts of yards,
mm-hmm.
but maybe like one or two touchdowns to show for it.
Yeah.
I would be furious if I was a Julio
owner.
Yeah,
he's still one of the best receivers. He doesn't get any red zone targets because Matt Ryan's overrated.
Yeah, I don't have a piece of Julio. I have a lot of Matt Ryan. I have a lot of Matt Ryan stock. But
is it Matt Ryan is overrated or is it Matt
he's
Ryan
overrated.
Is
that guy's fucking
I mean
he's going down now.
Yeah, sure.
Matt
Ryan's very, very similar to Kirk Cousins in the fact that when you put him up against a team, you know, like a competent winning team, you know, with a good head, you know, good coaching. He tends to shit the bed in big games, and he's a lot similar to Cousins in that regard. Which kind of, in my opinion, people consider him to be a good, top tier quarterback. I don't consider Matt Ryan to be a top tier quarterback, just based solely on the fact that he doesn't win big games. He never has. I mean, I think the one year they made that deep run to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And
yeah, they're the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they made it there, but he was bad and he wasn't great in the Super Bowl.
They were up 20 something, weren't they?
Yeah, they choked that one, and they couldn't score.
I think that wasn't just Matt Ryan though. I think that was a defense too. At the same time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but still, like I still think Matt Ryan is overrated. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, by the way. Let me remind you of that
Trent Dilfer. Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. So I just want you to think about that when you think about because Matt Ryan is better than Trent Dilfer, but just because you make one run doesn't make you an elite quarterback, especially if you don't win it. Like
that's very valid.
But he had Mike Allstott, right?
He had Allstott and Dunn, man. And he had one of the best defenses of all time. Too. Defensive league.
Give me a white fullback that plays a significant role in your offense any day.
Oh my god, who's the best H-back?
And they knew that Allstott was going to be getting dives. Like it'd just be like a straight dive up the middle, and you get like 6 yards. In this day and age, like that would be like you would get fired if a fullback ran for 6 yards up the middle on your defense. Like that coach would be fired the next day. That defensive coordinator would be fired.
He's the size of that meat boy. He was thick. Hey, there's no stopping him.
He's like too tall too. Like running backs are like he'd run like straight up. Like,
yeah, he was 6'3" and like 250 pounds. It was so.
When your fullback's like an integral part of your offense, like something's wrong. I mean, like
created at NCAA football every year. Like he was that guy that was 99 speed, 99 strength, 99. Like it was ridiculous. Like, and you just run him up the middle.
In today's game, he wouldn't get past the 3 yard. He wouldn't get past 3 yards ever because he just wasn't fast.
Can I bring it back to the wide receivers, right? Really quick.
Yeah.
You mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. He's still got 950 and 8 touchdowns this year. Pretty dang good year so far. He could have even better numbers, I feel like, if Will Fuller had been healthy.
Will Fuller's been injured the whole year.
Not a lot. I mean, obviously, you're always going to have your eye on DeAndre Hopkins, but I think that takes a little pressure off.
But I think it would also help, too, if they would have kept Braxton Miller. I think they released Braxton Miller too early, and he was their slot guy. I think they had Will Fuller, Braxton Miller, and DeAndre Hopkins. And Braxton Miller showed a lot of shine in the slot position. But then they released him, and then all of a sudden Will Fuller got hurt. So I think that went to go bite him in the ass a little bit.
Well,
and
Braxton Miller sucks.
Braxton, he showed a lot of he was hitting some big plays when he was in the slot. Like he would have games where it was like maybe 3 catches for like 40 yards, but then you have like big games for like 6 catches for 90 yards and maybe a touchdown or two.
Oh man, he sucks. He's your third wide receiver. You're fucked. that's my opinion.
You realize we have BB right now.
We have what?
Don BB's son.
Yeah, Colt. What's his name?
Chad.
Chad. Well, Chad. I was gonna say Colton.
Chad. He looks like a Colton, doesn't he?
Yeah, he kind of does. Little white guy. No. We have the two receivers. Our two receivers are better than most teams.
Yeah. I'll tell you. You know, I mentioned Hopkins, but you know, I think the one guy I still want going forward is probably Antonio Brown.
Yeah, if I had to take one receiver too, like if I could pick just one receiver straight up right now, I think it'd still be Antonio Brown.
I think so. I mean, you know, that's what the Steelers do, and they put the complementary receivers around him. I don't know what it is, but they pick up guys.
Yeah, I guess
up the scrap heap or in the fifth or sixth round, and they turn them into more than Super Bowl receivers. Which, you know, I'm a big believer in having a core receivers. You know, really takes the pressure off your number one.
So let's bring up this talk real quick, is that obviously, I don't know, a few weeks ago, maybe a month, close to a month ago probably, they started talking about Antonio Brown being not so great, and that like Ben Roethlisberger was a huge contributor to that factor. And the team, basically the system he played in, was a huge contributing factor to how good he was. And if he went anywhere else, it would be kind of shit. Do you believe that? I think when you look at Antonio Brown, he's a guy that's making plays. He's going to catch balls. He's going to outrun people. He's juking the hell out of people out. He's kicking punters in the fucking chest. It's stupid when you think about it. Like, when people – that was their legitimate argument. Like, I what do you think?
Well, that's how receivers are inherently, you know. A lot. I mean, you got to have, a competent quarterback, you know, at the very least. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I still like Brown. I still think he finds a way to, put up the numbers that he has, with a mid tier quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. Okay, so when you look at the Cleveland Brown situation, are you impressed or least impressed, or less impressed, with the situation they are dealt with right now currently, after actually winning a few games, actually competing against other teams? Possibly finding their next running back in Nick Chubb.
You're talking about the Browns here, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now here's kind of my here's my kind of thought on the Cleveland Browns. I kind of view them like that kid in your that you play like kickball with. You pick him and he's just super excited to go out and play, even though he's not very good. And you kind of pat him on the head and you're like, good job, buddy. You're working hard and all that. So that's the Cleveland Browns. They're kind of that adorable. They might have a couple good, a couple good games here and there, but it's still the Cleveland Browns. There's no difference in the Detroit Lions in the fact that they have the most poorly run organization, in the NFL, and they've had it since they got reinstated as the Cleveland Browns. They're like the Detroit Lions, Cleveland Browns, like the Oakland Raiders. Those three franchises just know how to, fuck everything up. Like, they're really good at it.
I do think this iteration of the Browns probably has the most talent that they've had.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe ever. Would you say ever? I know they made the playoffs like once with Derek Anderson.
Yeah, they played like one team with a winning record
right,
all year.
Right.
Like,
I think they have some legitimate players on this team.
Right. Yeah,
and it's just the infrastructure around them is kind of.
Yeah.
I get it, at the end of the day, players play, but I think there's a lot to be said about coaching in the NFL.
Right, and they had what the hell is his name again?
Hughes.
Huey Headlines.
Hugh Jackson. And he won like two games in 2 years, and they gave him another shot because they're like, yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Well, he was fired. He was fired mid-season. Yeah. It was a move. He tried being a player's coach, so it was.
I'll be very interested to see who they hire as head coach.
Yeah,
and
it'll probably be a high school coach.
If there's one thing, I mean, that's come out in the last week or two, that It should have surprised me, but it didn't when it was announced that they were interested in interviewing Condoleezza fucking Rice for a head coaching position.
Like, how far does an organization have to stoop?
She's
part of the college football playoff committee. They
want to put her in her front office position.
They're interviewing
for head coach.
For head coach, yeah. Yes. And then like. Yes, that's such a shocking and surprising story, but honestly,
it's not.
It was the Browns. It wasn't. I mean, it's like, well, I guess I can see that where they're coming from because it's the fucking Browns. They do this shit.
What are they gonna like? What are they gonna get? Is she gonna hire like Obama to run the defense and like Donald Trump to play offense? That's the Browns though. Like that's something they would do. That's like Arnold Schwarzenegger like being the governor of California. Like
that kind of, except that happened.
Except that actually happened. Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move away from the subject of football for just a bit. I want to ask Matt Merrick a few questions and see if he can answer these correctly.
Probably not, but let's get.
Is this the game that we discussed?
Yes, sir.
How many you got?
How many teams?
Yeah.
In the FBS, all of them.
No, I mean like how many? How many are you going to ask us?
I'm going to ask. I'm gonna ask 20.
Okay, because give me 10 and give Matt 10. And Matt,
You might.
Matt is going to beat me at this because he was in a sports information department and he knows all this shit. I'm good. I think Matt's going to get.
You're already making excuses for losing.
I'm a fear is removed.
How bad do you suck at life right now?
This, wait till you figure out what the game is first, Matt.
I think I know it.
Here's the deal.
Let's go.
You guys will get ten questions apiece. 10 teams apiece. You guys will have to name the mascot. Copy that.
Are we alternating? Am I getting 10 off the bat? Are we alternating here?
No, I'm gonna. On top of that 10, whoever has the most out of that 10 will then receive a drink or a beverage bought from the other loser.
Oh, so you're just implementing rules now? Okay, I get it. Well, I was gonna do that anyways. Like, I'm his brother. For Christ's sakes.
I wasn't.
You're right. Okay.
And the co-host. Thank you very much. That's the rules. That's how we're going with it. All right. We're going to start off with Matt Merrick.
Mm-hmm.
Your team is going to be Georgia Southern.
Can I take it if he doesn't get it? I got two mascots, and I can't remember which one it is, but it is the Panthers.
Yep. It's a cat.
You were wrong.
Let me. Okay. Do I get a shot?
You can get a rebuttal, but that means if you lose this, you have to buy a shot for the other.
Okay, guy. It's not going to happen, but it is a cat. I know that.
Georgia Southern's a cat?
It is a cat. I'm saying.
Sure about that?
No, it's a bird.
Oh, fuck.
Is it the Eagles?
I know what it is, yeah.
It is the Eagles.
Yes, sir.
Andrew Merrick for the steal for an extra bonus point.
Damn it.
That's right.
I told you, I'm a few years removed.
Bad deal.
All right. Number two.
All right. Andrew Merrick, you are up. We are going to go with... Shit, you play them, you're going to know that.
Well, give me one that I didn't play against.
We're going to go with Old Dominion.
Oh, boy. It's a lion is their mascot. It might be the Lions. Old Dominion. Not the Royals. Royals, Lions. I think it is the Lions. I'm going to go Lions.
You're wrong. Monarchs.
Monarchs. Yeah. Mother. You didn't give him a rebuttal. Matt would have got that.
Yeah, I would have
had
that.
Hey, it's a tough one.
It's not
okay,
that
it
tough.
Was a tough one. I'm going tough right off the bat.
Okay.
Matt Merrick, you are up. Troy.
Trojans.
Easy.
Trojans.
That is one for Matt. He is one of two. Andrew Merrick, you have a bonus point, but that does
I played at Troy back in the day, so.
Well, and right,
my former SID.
I met Mick Rooney one
Padre
time.
He was the SID there. Or is the SID, yeah.
He was?
Yeah. No, he is.
Your father-in-law is?
No, let's continue with the game. We're going to lose the listeners, so let's keep it rolling.
If we haven't got any yet. All right. Andrew Merrick, like I said, you have your bonus point, but you are 0-1 currently right now. We're going to go Southern Miss.
Golden Eagles.
Correct. You are 1-2 as well, my friend. And let's see, Matt Merrick. UTEP.
Easy.
Miners.
Yep.
2-3. Andrew Merrick, University of Texas, San Antonio.
Roadrunners.
Yep.
2-3. It is a battle up here. Is that extra point going to really hold it up?
It might. Yeah.
It might. Until I drop this one on you. do I want to do it? All right. Let's go North Texas.
Mean Green.
That's 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
We are going to go Middle Tennessee.
Blue Raiders.
Damn it.
That's the team that you played this year. That's what I was trying to hold
up.
That
was where I wanted to go to school after JUCO.
Blue Raiders.
Blue Raiders.
Name. 3-4 again. All right. Matt Merrick, Louisiana Monroe.
I love it.
Louisiana Monroe. Warhawk?
Correct. 4 for 5. Andrew Merrick, Louisiana Tech.
Oh, blue. It's blue something. wait. I'm thinking of, actually, what's weird is I'm thinking of their women's basketball team.
Yeah.
It's the lady something. I want to say Raiders, but we just it wouldn't would probably wouldn't drop enough, two blue Raiders on me. Louisiana Tech. I think their women's basketball team, they call them the Lady Texters or something, didn't they? It was like Lady.
They do have an alternate name for their women's team.
Oh boy, Louisiana Tech. Oh man, I don't even like their mask. I don't even know their mascot. I'm gonna say Blue Raiders again.
Bulldogs, my friend.
Oh shit,
Bulldogs.
I was thinking just
3 for 5.
That's what I was saying.
Just 4 for 5. You are 3 for 5, Andrew Merrick. But you do have a bonus point.
I do have the rebuttal, which you stopped. Wow, you haven't only you denied Matt the other one. But it's okay.
I'm not gonna. I don't think I want to do it. I think I'm just gonna give you that one bonus point. We're gonna see where it goes from here.
Get a sudden death one if we tie.
Matt Merrick, I don't think there's gonna be a bonus after this one. Liberty,
Flames.
God damn it! You serious? 5 of 6. Oh my god, Drew, you're fucked, dude. I'm sorry.
Well, if you keep giving them cake,
geez. Okay. Hawaii, Drew.
They're just the Warriors now. Rainbow Warriors.
Attaboy, correct. I'll give you that. 4 for 6. Let's go with. Ooh, I like this one. Matt Merrick, FIU.
Panthers.
Son of a bitch.
Keep going to East Coast. You know he went to school on the East Coast, so you gotta come on now. You gotta be let's be a little bit
not,
really biased.
I'm not playing any preference at all. I'm not playing any bias.
You dirty, dirty
bastard. Drew, Charlotte.
Niners.
Attaboy. All right. Let's go with Crunch. We're gonna give you a solid one here, okay?
All right.
Army.
West Point. Mm-hmm. Come on, dude.
Cadets.
What's that?
The old Cadets.
Wrong.
Black Knights.
Yeah, Black Knights.
Oh, man, we're tied. You knew that. You guys are tied. He got so complacent there. He's getting cocky. You should have seen him. He had like a gun pointed at my head, you know, with his finger. He's doing that. Like,
I did not think that was in the stuff.
I didn't either. He got complacent.
I know the other service academies.
I would have got that.
Yeah,
Appalachian State.
Oh shit!
I want the rebuttal.
Yeah, you're gonna get the rebuttal too.
Okay, there's a rebuttal on the table here.
Aggies.
Matt Merrick, rebuttal.
Mountaineers.
Mountaineers is correct. He takes the lead back. We are gonna go with Matt Merrick, Arkansas State.
Oh, come on, easy.
Red Wolves.
Oh, my God, he's solid. He's on fire right now.
It used to be the Indians. They had to change that name. Apparently some places have to change Native American names. Others others don't.
At least not for 20 years.
Yeah.
All right. Andrew Merrick, Central Michigan.
Chippewas.
That was solid, great. My friend. What are we even at right now? I think we have one more.
Two more.
I'm up one.
I think. Okay. You're up one. Crunch, we're going to go with Coastal Carolina.
Chanticleer,
they were,
baby.
Dude, they were
Chanticleer.
They were in his conference, you dick.
No, they weren't.
Doesn't matter. They were close enough.
Oh, my God, Drew, you suck so bad.
Bobby's asking me D3 schools. This is bullshit.
Drew, UMass.
Minutemen. We're watching them right now. We're watching a basketball game right now, Massachusetts.
Are you watching UMass?
Oh God,
that's kind of ironic.
Yeah, you probably are too. You probably looked up at your TV screen. Oh, this would be a good one.
He did.
Yeah, I know he did.
You're such a shit basketball.
It's kind of like a noted one.
Yeah. That one doesn't count. Give me another one.
Shut up.
Okay.
You can count it.
You're right. You have been giving Matt all of his old conference teams that he's played against, so that's only fair, you know.
Okay, you want me to give you a different one?
Yeah, super fun.
Texas State.
Cougars.
Bobcats. You're wrong. You lose.
It's the same kind of animal.
You file.
Doesn't matter. That one didn't count anyways, because I already got Massachusetts. So move on. Next.
What do you mean? Go on to go next. You lost already.
No, there's one more. You got one more.
Hey, hold on real quick, because we're hitting that hour approach. Let me do a TV commercial timeout, and I will call you back.
For the final question. You got one more?
For the final question.
Double. It's a bonus. You better come up with a good one.
We are back after a big commercial break, aka a bathroom break, after emptying out my kidneys and everything else. We are back. And Crunch, let me ask you this. How long are you in town for?
Till Sunday morning.
All right. Well, I'm going to be out and about tomorrow. Andrew's probably going to be delivering packages for other males with his shirt off. If you want to come out for a cocktail, you and your gorgeous wife, feel free to stop on by. I'll be out doing my best Wilmer Valderrama impressions.
Well, I would love to see that, Bob.
All right. I'm probably going to be at the Toasted Frog having some of their delicious wings. By the way, I'm kind of ritzy like that.
Mm-hmm.
I go to a 5-star restaurant to get wings. Stupid.
When do they let you into the garbage can in the back? Like, you just crawl in there? Like, I know you don't get to go in there. Like,
well,
I don't think they let you in.
But delivering, or I started taking out the garbage at my new job, being a garbage man at UND.
All right.
You know, I got some pretty good pull around here. I got some pretty good wings.
So you get to actually eat something that's not in the garbage can out back. That's pretty exciting. That's got to be exciting for you.
Sometimes, yeah. It's usually I just wait for people to leave the table without their tinfoil. And I just go in there suited up. So, but we're going to ask you some. I mean, we got a full another hour. I don't know how long you guys want to record for, or if you guys are having fun or not.
We got a little bit of time left. Neither of us work tomorrow. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
We literally just recorded for an hour, and I had to stop it before we lost all that shit like we did last time, Drew.
Yeah, that's no fun. Then we're just hammered, and we have nothing to show for it.
I know. Do you remember that day, though? Like, we recorded for an hour.
Yeah,
like,
no.
We were still recording for an hour.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't remember that.
Record for another hour and a half.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, I don't remember that because I was drunk. We were drinking while we were doing the podcast. It got erased. So we had to do it all over again, and I was already hammered.
We were all over the place, and that was like the greatest thing in the world. I mean, it's one for the history books.
I think so.
All right. So, Drew, you guys are currently 5-6, correct?
5-6 in terms of Matt being up 6-5?
Actually, 5-6. I'm going to ask you guys some Minnesota Gophers trivia.
Oh, Drew's got this one, but go ahead.
Should I do something that's a little bit more in the realm?
You run the show,
yeah,
Bob.
You're the host.
Done deal. We got it, guys. We got it. We're gonna switch up to the Twins. By the way, Crunch, let me ask you this: you being so close to Joe Mauer retiring in the city,
sure.
Was it like just like a full month of sorrow and just tears being wept around the city of Minneapolis after Joe decided to hang it up?
All in Minneapolis,
more St. Paul. You know. It's funny you ask that. It's really bizarre because, and it's not like this. This is the only place that's like this, I feel like. I might be wrong, but people are so lukewarm on Joe Mauer and his legacy and his career. You know, and then you look at, and then you read the national, you know, after he announces retirement, you read the national stories and the commentary from the national reporters, and everybody's like, oh yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, or Hall of Famer, or borderline Hall of Famer. And you know, you read some of the local writers in Minneapolis, and they're like, oh, he was good, but you know, he could have been better. You know, just there's
no Joe love.
Does not get the love locally
that he should.
That he really should have. And
he's a guy that kept it true to his hometown, to state, for so many years. It really surprises me that there's like there's not a lot more, like, no, I wouldn't say remorse because obviously he's not dead, but I would say I don't know, I guess a little bit more sympathy towards him retiring.
Yeah.
Sympathy, it's, yeah, no, I mean, anybody that followed his career close enough, like, the, you know, like we did, like, we grew up watching this kid from our, you know, neck of the woods that is going to, I'd say, probably get into the Hall of Fame at some point. And it's tough because, like, you see it, and he did everything right. Like, you know, he did everything right in, you know, on the field, off the field, did everything right. He was the perfect representative of the team and of the city and everything, and nobody can say a bad thing about him. But you know how Minnesotans are. Like, you know, if you're not winning for them, if you're not, you know, if you don't win a World Series, or if you're not putting up power, you know, it's always something so little. And even for me, like, I'm a pretty negative guy, and I used to rip on
him too,
but in the grand scheme of things, like, you look back on his career, and there's not a person in Minnesota that didn't, you know, everybody in Minnesota would have lost their fucking mind if Joe Mauer would have left for the Red Sox or the Yankees, but he didn't. He took less money. He stayed here. And then he gets hurt. He gets a concussion, and his career kind of, you know, isn't the same, like, power-wise. Well, maybe didn't hit the last 5 or 6 years, like, but he still is a 280, 290. He's still a good player. But, like, he had to move positions because of the concussions and, like, but people just immediately look to that. You know what I mean? Like, they forget about the career he put together in 8 years as a catcher, which blows most catchers in the history of baseball out of the water. And it's really sad because it's just it's the Minnesota fan base that just kind of – it's the negativity, and it's the – they always look to the – it seems they always look to the bad because nobody ever wins here. So, like, if you're not winning, you know, like, even if you are from – don't get me wrong. There are people that smart baseball people that really appreciate Mauer's career and love the things that he did, you know, for Minnesota. But, like, it's you know, you see the media, local media is awful in Minneapolis. It's all, you know, some of them are okay, but it's all negative. And it's just like, yeah, you should have hit for more homers. We gave him all this money to, you know, be a driving runs and hit homers. And but
yeah,
it's just, you know, like, things happen. Like, you know what I mean? And it's not like you're going to predict that he was going to get a concussion and that he was, you know, he would have to move from behind the plate. And you know, like, it's too bad because I think me and Matt both understand and appreciate what he meant to the Twins organization and the state, you know, in general. But there's stupid people out there that'll look at him and be like, "Whoa, you never hit 30 home runs again," and you didn't put, yeah, he didn't. But what did he do as a catcher? He won 2 batting titles, 3 batting titles.
Yep.
Was it two or three?
2 or 3. I can't.
It was like 2 batting titles, MVP. Like, the guy is a career 320, like, you know, 318 hitter, or whatever, 320 hitter, like. I mean, his OPS, like, for catchers ranks, like, 5th all time. Like, yeah, like, it's ridiculous. And then, like, I just, you know, I don't know. You got to appreciate Joe Mauer for his entire career. You can't look at the
– yeah.
He didn't win anything because he was taking up first base and he wasn't hitting homers. But, like, come on. Like, the guy did everything that he possibly could, and he did it. Played the game hard every day, and he went to work every day, and, you know, and – did his job. And it's, yeah, I don't know. It bothers me that people think that way. But yeah, he's a legend. He'll always go down as one of the best athletes in the history of Minnesota, you know, like, regardless of what probably, a lot of people think.
Probably the best high school athlete in Minnesota history.
Yeah, ever. Like,
wait, what?
No,
aside from Andrew Mayer?
No, Matt's taking a piss. So we got to, he just said in the history of Minnesota, he's probably the greatest athlete in the history of Minnesota.
Wait, professional or just, like, overall?
No, in high school as an athlete in general. You could have played 3 sports professionally is what I'm saying.
Track?
No, lacrosse, swimming, and baseball.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Those are the easy ones.
Yeah, and then he was a good baseball guy, too. But...
Okay, so.
His wife married him.
That's right.
So aside from that, though, like, obviously he's a homer. Obviously, you guys are we're all homers here, in a sense. As far as the community goes, do you think we should be more thankful? Obviously, that he's done more for us.
Well, he, I mean, not for us necessarily. As a baseball player,
not for us, but as like a as a baseball, I guess like a state, I guess I should say. Because he actually was one of the main guys. Like you look at it up and down the board, he's probably he's going to be probably one of the highest bought jerseys ever by anybody because it's a name synonymous with baseball for us.
Yeah, no, it's he's the most one of the most popular athletes in the history of Minnesota too. Like just in terms of like, there are people that'll dog him, but those are the same people that buy their kids a Mauer jersey. Like let's be honest, he is what he is. You know. He is that. He was Minnesota. His personality, everything was kind of just like what a Minnesotan is all about. And that's what I think what people related to him a little bit. And quiet, soft-spoken, humble. Never see him argue a call. Like he, the guy never got tossed. Like, he just did everything right. You know what I mean? Like,
so goddamn nice.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, okay, let me ask you this. So, do you think the talks of actually Paul Goldschmidt actually coming here is legitimate?
No. I mean, I would hope so.
I believe discussions were had, but I don't think it's realistic.
It's very hard because, like, for him, he has 1 year left on his contract, and the Twins, you know, would have to give up pieces to get him, and then he would have to resign with the Twins because otherwise, you just trade away prospects for 1 year of Paul Goldschmidt, which would be, you know, a stupid move. But hell, I'd love to watch Goldschmidt play for my team. He's one of the best first basemen, one of the best players in baseball. But yeah, no, I think he'd have to. There'd be a lot of moving parts, I think, and that's the problem.
All right, Drew. Drew and Matt. Okay, so across the board, Minnesota teams that actually have an expectation to actually do something, or the belief inside your guys' self that a team will actually do something. Who do you guys choose going forward that'll actually compete for a championship? Timberwolves, Twins, the Vikings, possibly this year. Minnesota Gophers, like wrestling, like you guys choose it. Let's go for it.
Just whatever team I think is going to win something next.
The best shot, yeah.
Oh, none of them. Do you know where we are?
Can I say St. Cloud State wrestling?
I'm going to go with that, yeah. I'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
They're down in camps when I was there, too, so.
I think I got four of the last five.
That's impressive.
Four of the last five, I think, yeah.
That's a lot more impressive than a lot of people think, either way.
No, if I had to pick a team that I think has the best shot to win the next title, it's, I mean, none of them are close. I say probably the Vikings, but it's only because the Wild are stuck in mediocrity, the Twins are rebuilding, and the Timberwolves are a fucking dumpster fire. So, I don't know. If I had to pick one, it would probably be the Vikings for the main sports, but. Yeah, probably not anytime soon. I'll be dead long before any of that shit goes down. So,
you're planning on having a cardiac arrest? That's cool.
No, they're going to force it. It's going to happen in another like NFC title loss, and I'll just croak. And then the next year they'll win it in spite of me when I'm dead in the ground.
All right, Drew. Do you consider yourself a music fan?
Is there somebody on this planet that is not a music fan?
Well, you. I feel like you're the Grinch compared to everything.
No. I love all kinds of music.
You do?
Absolutely.
All right. Name three Chris Stapleton songs.
Who the hell is Chris Stapleton?
Exactly my point. Shut up.
Midnight Train to Georgia. That's it.
I feel like this is going to be like the most even thing I can do because obviously I think that Drew is like a classical guy, but I think that Matt is a very classical and contemporary guy and modern.
Possibly.
I think we're going to have a good challenge here.
We're going to do
this one final 10 questions apiece. All right.
Jesus.
Okay. We got a 10 pack and then we're done, right?
Gentlemen, I hope you guys have a cocktail in front of you.
Matt does.
No, it's good because I'm still using Net Zero. So my computer's loading. I don't know if you guys can hear it.
Is that the clicking noise or is that your brain?
No, I got a Net Zero. CD I just popped in right now for an hour free. we're gonna go. All right. What was Madonna's first UK top 10 single?
Oh my God, are you really going to do this?
Going to Crunch.
I don't know if this is the actual title of the song. Get Into the Groove. I don't know if that's the name of it, but.
Rebuttal?
No. I'll say Vogue and Vogue.
Ooh. Vogue. Very cool. You guys are both 0-for-1, though. It's holiday.
This is going to be, nobody's going to get anything right. It's going to be a miracle if we get any of these.
That's the whole point of this thing, is to make you guys look like donors.
You can tell where our, like, priorities lie when we play these games. Like, we're naming off random ass schools and fucking Bermuda Triangle, and then we pull up actual music that's like popular and we don't know shit.
All right. Let's fancy us in this then. Would you guys say that you guys know, well, Crunch, you're going to crush this if I just choose like Disney characters, because obviously you have children.
Possibly. I kind of check out from time to time. On Parenthood.
A good father does.
That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm doing this podcast. So I'm obviously checked out on my kids right now. So.
Oh my God. Crunch, I totally forgot I had 3 kids upstairs right now. As soon as you said that, definitely forgot that. Jeez, what's a good trivia question? Okay. What was the final score? Don't look or phones, social media, nothing. Final score of the Oklahoma West Virginia game right now. We'll do a Bob Barker style.
Are we just doing total points under, over, under?
We'll do points apiece.
Points apiece.
They so already played points. This game, right?
Yeah. Points apiece.
Not Oklahoma. Not Oklahoma, West Virginia. We did it with the Patrick Mahomes deal.
We have to guess the total amount of points in the Oklahoma, West Virginia game tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do I go first?
I'll crunch. I'll give it to you first.
99.
Andrew? There's no looking at phones.
Wait, did this game already happen?
It just happened.
No. We didn't do it. We didn't do it with West Virginia, Oklahoma.
No, I'm saying, has that game already been played?
Yes,
it has. Oh, shit. I missed it.
You're lucky. 82. Crunch, you win. The overall points was 115.
Shit.
Is that it?
Oklahoma 59, West Virginia 56.
Oh, wow. It's a lot of points.
It was a barn burner.
Yeah, it's like Rams.
Literally, it's a college basketball score.
It's a Big Ten score right there in basketball.
All right. Let's get to back some real trivia. Now, Drew, Albert Einstein in 1946 created oxygen out of hemoglobin. What two particles did he use to create that aside from nitrogen?
Wait, what did you just ask me? I can't – you're –
Bobby, at what point did we just go random
off the board garbage?
What the hell? It was just good messing with
questions. Yeah, I was done with science a long time ago, buddy. Like, you know that.
No, I think you're pretty intelligent. You're kind of like, you're the Rain Man of our group.
I go as far from the truth as anything.
Yeah, as far as you say. We're going to go FCS teams, boys, to make it a little bit more
easy. Okay, we got 5 left because the kids need to – you're starting to wake up and Matt's got daddy things to do.
It's true.
Holy shit. Okay, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll do 5. All right, so we're going to go with Andrew first. We're going to go Idaho State.
Tigers.
Bengals, you're on.
Same thing.
Matt. Robert Morris.
I think I know this one. Patriots.
Close.
Colonials.
Ah, damn it.
0-for-1. Both of you.
We're really close when we get these. We know these things, but it's like it's the wrong word for that specific thing.
We're in the same camp.
I kind of got that when he said when he said Patriots. I was like, God, yeah, it's pretty damn close. Yeah. Drew, Northern Arizona.
Oh, no.
Rebuttal.
You can't call rebuttals.
I'll rebuttal in the middle of it. I haven't.
Well, said wait. If he doesn't get it, I want a rebuttal.
Northern Arizona.
I'll let him go with it.
I should know this. Northern Arizona. Is a cat?
Northern Arizona.
Make a guess.
Northern Arizona. Oh, shit. I'm going to say. Cougars? Kip.
Lumberjacks.
Fuck.
Caught it. He's got a bonus point. Drew, you're 0 for 2. French is 0 for 1 with a bonus.
Hey, you know what? I just want you to know this. You've asked zero West Coast schools outside
of Northern Arizona. That's a West Coast school.
Outside of Northern Arizona, Matt's gotten all East Coast schools, and that is bullshit.
I asked you USC. I asked you Utah.
You certainly did. I know both of those, and you didn't ask me those. So, next. Let's move on here. It's getting late.
Oh, God. It's because you're so racy. Let's go with this. All
right. It's mine right now.
UT Martin.
Ooh.
This is mine, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
UT Martin.
That one's not easy.
No, I don't know it either. UT Martin.
Sometimes you guess, you get it right.
UT Martin.
Can I guess?
I'm gonna guess the Eagles.
It's close.
UT Martin.
Yeah, Eagles? I don't think that's right, but.
Drew, did you ask for a rebuttal?
I'm debating it because it's a bird, but it's not the Eagles. I'm not going to rebuttal because I don't know for sure.
All right. We'll cancel off the board. Skyhawks.
Yes. Fucking birds.
Skyhawks. All right, Drew, this is yours. We're going to go with Albany.
Great Danes.
Yeah.
Danes.
1-3. Crunch, you're up. Lafayette.
Lafayette.
Yep.
Lafayette.
This one might be. That might. Ew. This one might be a rebuttal too.
Yeah. Gosh. Lafayette. If it was Louisiana Lafayette, that would be.
Yeah. Raging Cajuns.
Yeah. Lafayette. I want to say it's a cat or something.
It is a cat.
Drew, are you calling a
rebuttal? I haven't guessed yet.
I might.
I'm just wondering.
Our rebuttal.
No, I get leopards.
Damn it.
Yes.
God damn it, he got it.
I would have had that.
Guns got it. He is 1-4 with a bonus point, so he's basically 2-4. Drew, you are up. You are 1-3. Drew, are you ready? Jacksonville.
Dolphins.
Yeah.
God damn.
That was in Matt's conference.
That was in my conference, too.
You scumbag. You cheating scumbag. You're in cahoots. You guys just talked about this shit.
We did not.
No. We did not. Come on. Never. You're horrible that you think that. Crunch. VMI.
VMI.
Virginia Military. He'll get this one.
That's the cadets, I believe.
That is cadets. That's correct. That is your 5, my friend.
Just keep going north. Yeah, keep going north near North Carolina for him. That's great. That's real great.
I'm not trying to, man. I'm sorry. Howard.
Bison.
God damn it. There's a tie break in here.
I got it. I got a bonus point.
You got the one 5 bonus point.
Bobby's setting you up with all these teams. You need to get more at the West Coast, Bobby. That's where it gets tricky.
First person to name this team. Indiana State.
Sycamores. Yeah. Yes.
Nope. Who said
it.
Yes?
Drew got that one.
Drew wins this round. Gentlemen, it was a pleasure being with you tonight. Absolutely love it. Thank you guys for coming out for the podcast. Crunch, we got to do this more often.
Let's do it.
True. This was great. This was absolutely a lot of fun. Boys. Any last words, comments, concerns?
Amazing content tonight, fellas.
We did it. We survived, even though Bobby cheated in every game we played. It's fine. It was good.
I didn't know it was going to be co-host, man. Honestly, I just started looking up shit, and it just happened to be every one of those names.
What was the total tally? Like, we did 10 apiece, so we were like, what, 30, like 11 for 15, like both of us, pretty close.
You guys were up there. We did 10, and I think you guys were 7 of 10 damn near apiece for the first round, and then you guys were...
I knew it was close. FCS. I knew it would be close.
Suffered. But I'll give you guys one last one. Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Lions.
Yeah.
Pine Bluff, bad boy. Not the Lions?
It's the Lions. It's a shade of Lions.
Oh, the Golden Lions.
There you go. Boys, that's how we end it. That is just a straight up bias of sports all up in this place.
All right, man.
Guys, have a great holiday, and Crunch, we'll see you out tomorrow because Drew's probably going to be dressed in sweatpants looking like a bum outside of the bar I'm going to go to. I'm probably going to throw some change in his cup. And
guaranteed, that's what's going to be happening.
Love you guys.
Funny, that's how he looks right now.
That's right.
I called it. We'll see you guys soon. Happy Thanksgiving, gentlemen. All
right, see you, Bob.
Later, Bobby.
Love you. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.